Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections on Jesus of the Gospels. We have been studying the one episode at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Jesus, at the request of his mother, changed water into wine and performed in such a way the first sign revealing his glory. We have seen the various aspects of that particular incident. What is the meaning of this changing of water into wine? And how is the hour of Jesus related to this particular incident? And what is the role of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the history of salvation? So after having studied in detail this one episode, we return to the Gospel of Mark, which we have taken as the source, so to say, about the life of Jesus. Today we want to focus our attention first on a transitional episode, or a summary narrative that is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. The same episode is repeated or narrated also in the Gospel of Luke. I read the text from Mark. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a desert place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. So this is a summary narrative. It pictures before us not one particular episode, but a series of episodes. What Jesus was used to do. This is not just one day's example. This is not just what Jesus did on an exceptional day. This is what he used to do every day. And that can be seen from the tense of the Greek, where it is said, there he prayed. He used to pray. It's not just one particular incident, but that is a common thing that he used to do. Mark has presented or pictured before us a day of Jesus, a day of activity and day of reflection. How he starts the day and how he ends the day. He starts the day with prayer and he ends the day also in prayer. In union with the Father, that's where he starts. Early in the morning, much before the sun rises, he rises. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up. So that's where he starts his day. And what does he do? He went out to a deserted place. He looks for loneliness, to be alone with his Father, to be alone with God. That is the source of his strength. That is the source of his inspiration and life. There he starts his day. From the communion with the Father, he comes back to the people. But there he starts with the Father. The love of God that he experiences in his union with the Father is being transmitted to the people to whom he comes into contact with. So he got up early in the morning and he goes out, not in the house, not in the temple, nor in the synagogue. Not any particular place of worship dedicated totally for that. What Jesus looks for is loneliness, to be alone, alone with God. His Father is present everywhere. The presence of God is not limited to any particular place, what we usually call the sacred place, the sacred precinct, which is totally dedicated only for the service of God, like temple and synagogue. No, for Jesus, the presence of God is found everywhere. The whole world is a temple for him. He can pray anywhere, but he prefers deserted places. He prefers mountain tops, distant places where he will not be disturbed. It can be at night, it can be early morning, it can be late at night, whatever, he wants communion with the Father. And when he is called out of this communion, and the people want to keep him for themselves in Capernaum, Jesus tells them, tells the disciples, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also." The presence of Jesus cannot be limited to any particular place. Of course, Capernaum was chosen as the base camp, but that's not the place where he is going to stay forever. He started at Capernaum, but then he goes out to other neighboring places. All throughout Galilee, he is going to preach. His word is the word, the message of salvation. And this message of salvation has to reach the ends of the earth. As far as he is concerned, his physical presence will be limited to some area in Galilee, in Palestine. Till his death and resurrection, the gospel will be proclaimed only in the confines of Palestine. But that is only the beginning again. At the end, Jesus would say, before his ascension, "Go out to the whole world and make disciples of all the nations." Or as in Mark, "Go out and proclaim the good news to all the creatures." Or in the book of Acts, "Go out from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." So the message of Jesus has to reach the whole world. But before Jesus goes out to preach, he goes to the Father, spends his time with the Father in prayer. It is from there he charges his batteries, so to say, of the Spirit. And this is presented also as an example for us. Anyone who goes out to proclaim the good news has to spend time with the Father, not only the preachers. Everybody needs time to be alone with the God. That is why people go to the temple, go to the church, to the mosque, to pray. And there they seek the presence of God. But not necessarily. The presence of God is not limited to any particular place. Of course, the mosque and temple and churches are all places dedicated to the service, the worship of God. There we are in communion with the worshiping community. And that is the best place to pray. But not necessarily so. Everyone needs a place of isolation, a place to be alone with God. The Hindu rishis call it the cave of the heart. And Jesus would later on tell us how to pray. When you pray, enter your room, close the door, and speak to your Father in silence. So this is an example. This is a teaching that Jesus imparts us through his own doing. He went out. So he was praying and he was preaching. And Mark concludes this summary statement telling, "And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons." Casting out demons and proclaiming the good news, that is the activity of Jesus. Now Mark gives us an example. An example of proclamation of the good news in action. And that we are going to analyze the cleansing of a leper. The episode is reported in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. The same episode is repeated, narrated by Matthew in chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, and Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. For Matthew, this is the first miracle Jesus performs immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. For Mark and Luke, this is not the first episode, but a miracle performed in Galilee. We are not told exactly where the leper met Jesus. If we read the Gospel of Mark, we would know exactly if it is in the town or outside the town. Because Jesus was going around proclaiming the good news in their towns, And the healing of the leper is situated in this context of general proclamation. But when we go to the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us that Jesus was in one of the towns, one of the cities. In Luke chapter 5, verse 12, once he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. So most probably, Mark also wants to present this episode in a town in Galilee. So the episode is related to the healing of a leper. And I shall read the episode first, and then we make our reflections on it. I read from the Gospel of Mark. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. This is a typical narration of a healing, a miraculous healing performed by Jesus. First of all, what strikes our attention is the fact that it's a leper coming to Jesus. And healing the lepers is considered as a sign of Jesus' activity or Jesus' messianic identity. When John the Baptist sent out messengers asking Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus had said this to the messengers. In Luke chapter 7, verse 22, we read, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." Among the many of the miraculous activities of Jesus, cleansing the lepers is also mentioned as a sign of the messianic time. Now, what is the importance of this leper? Even today, leprosy is looked upon with fear and trembling, so to say. Leprosy carries a kind of stigma on the people. Now we know that leprosy is a disease that can be healed. It's a skin disease. And there are efficient methods of healing leprosy. But even then, a person who has contracted leprosy somehow carries a stigma even today. People are afraid that this is considered a very serious, very grievous illness. But in the time of Jesus, it was much worse. In a community in the desert area, leprosy was a terror, so to say. Leprosy somehow attacked not only the body, but even the soul, the mind, and the society. People lived in constant fear of becoming a leper. And lepers were considered as cursed and hated. There are detailed laws concerning the detection and healing of leprosy. Book of Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, the two entire chapters deal with leprosy. And we should know, when the Bible speaks of leprosy, it's not exactly, not necessarily what we mean by leprosy today. Any skin disease, any discoloration of skin could be considered leprosy. So there are various types of leprosy, but all are considered as leprosy and people were afraid. A person who has leprosy is considered unclean. He is considered a sinner. He is considered as carrying the curse of God. And he has to stay outside the community. In chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, we have the directions, instructions given concerning the leper. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head be disheveled. And he shall gnaw his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. A leprous person cannot come into community with people. He should not walk on the roads where people walk. He is not allowed to enter a town. So a person has to stay outside. Anybody who comes into contact with this person will become unclean, as if touching a dead body. In fact, the lepers were considered as good as dead, because they were considered as cursed by God. For example, when Miriam and Aaron protested against the leadership of Moses, God appeared in a cloud and Miriam was struck by leprosy. In the book of Numbers chapter 12, we read like this. Chapter 12 verses 10 and 10 to 12. When the cloud went away from over the tent, Miriam had become leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam and saw that she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, do not punish us for a sin that we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like one stillborn whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of the mother's womb." The leper was considered as a dead person whose body is half consumed, somehow becoming putrefacted. So the lepers were hated, they were feared, and they were forced to stand outside the community. And such a person dares to come to Jesus. That is the first thing that strikes us. A person came to Jesus, and Jesus did not cast him away. In fact, the rabbis of the time of Jesus would say, if you see a leper, throw stones at him as at a mad dog and chase him away, because wherever he goes, he spreads uncleanness. Now, a leper came to him. He came to him and, kneeling before him, he said, "If you choose, you can make me clean." What the leper wants is not exactly healing alone. What he wants is cleansing. Healing and cleansing are two things. The physical healing, if it is not accompanied by a religious, ritual, social cleansing, he will still have to stay outside as a leper. So he wants to be reintegrated into the society. He wants the curse of God to be taken away from him. He wants to be considered as a human person. He wants to be reintegrated into the community of the people of God. Now, what does Jesus do? Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. A very strange thing. A quite unusual thing for a person to do. To touch a leper. Touching a leper, Jesus becomes unclean himself. But he is moved with compassion, pity. A person who was cast out of the society, who was carrying, so to say, the opprobrium, the hatred of the wholesome society, and who was in complete despair, thinking that he was cursed by God, now Jesus is moved by compassion. That is one attitude that we see in Jesus, compassion of God, that breaks every barrier, that breaks every law, that somehow puts people outside the communion of God. Moved with compassion, he stretches out his hand and touches the person. The healing touch of Jesus brings consolation, brings comfort and strength. And then Jesus says, "I do choose and be made clean." So the healing takes place immediately. The healing touch of Jesus that conveys the care and concern of Jesus. The love, the compassionate love of God being transmitted through this loving touch of Jesus brings healing. And the next stage goes further than healing. And we will see it in our next reflection. Now let us conclude this with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as an incarnation of your compassionate love. Heavenly Father, we know that we don't carry the curse. You don't curse anybody. It is we who ourselves put outside the realm of your love. It is we who go around cursing others. You bless, and you want everybody to be blessed. And for that, you sent your Son into this world. Into this world that carries the curse of sin. Enable us to understand your love. Stretch out your hand. Touch all our wounded souls. Touch our crushed bodies. Touch our spirits that is drooping by sadness, melancholy. Heal us from hatred. Stretch out your hand. Touch us with your compassion. Enable us to experience your love. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.